Oh, hey, I'm so glad that you found us. My name's Michael, and I get to be the pastor at Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church in Lakeland, Florida. You're listening to the It's Better When You're Here podcast, where every week we upload the messages that are preached at our church every Sunday. We hope by listening to this, you feel safe, heard, and loved by the God that created you. We hope this message makes an impact in your life. If listening to this makes a difference, reach out to us and connect with us either on social media or on our website, shepherdsumc.com. All right, here's the message.
So we're finishing up our series on a book called Colin, Help. Oh my gosh, let's tighten up, okay? You ready? Sermon series on a book called Help, Thanks, Wow. There you go. Written by Anne Lamott. It's a book on prayer. And so as a church, we've been reading this together. And like I said at the very beginning, there's some things in this book that I think are really amazing and some things that I think are kind of bunk and not perfect in any way. But I'm really glad that we got to read that together. Our last prayer that we're talking about today is wow. Everyone say wow. Wow. We're going to be talking about wonder, what it means to be overcome by wow and by wonder. But I hope that throughout the series you've heard something that's made a difference in your life, that prayer is something that you've been able to learn a little bit about. I've told you before that as a pastor, the number one thing people talk to me about is what do I do during the week? But the second place thing is prayer. People say, oh, I don't know how to pray. I don't like praying in public. What does it mean to pray? This is a common conversation that I have with people, and I hope that you've learned something about prayer throughout this series. Because prayer is a gift that we often leave unopened. We don't use prayer as Christians because we don't know what it is or the value of it or how powerful it can be. We turn prayer into asking for things, wishes, like a wishing well. We're throwing coins over our shoulders instead of actually communing with the God of the universe. We turn it into something that we say right before we eat a meal, like we're saying the Pledge of Allegiance. It's something that we forget is a power that we get to use in our lives. We miss out on it, and I hope that we've been able to unwrap this gift. If you were with us, I also need to add this sort of like housekeeping sort of element. Last week, we talked about sheep. Did anyone remember the talk of sheep? I said that sheep are very dumb. I learned this week that sheep are, in fact, not dumb. And I'm not being held against my will by the sheep mafia. You know, the woolen ones didn't come to me at night. But someone said, you know, they've done studies. Apparently, sheep are quite intelligent, especially for livestock. I mean, they can't do calculus or anything, but, like, they're pretty smart for livestock. And so I take it back. Sheep are not dumb, and neither are you. But the point still remains that we are compared to sheep in Scripture because we need a leader, and so do sheep. Even though sheep are intelligent. So why am I saying that? Because I think that what I say from the pulpit matters, and I don't want you to learn about sheep being intelligent. Be like, well, I wonder if he was lying about other things. So that's why I want to share that with you. But today, the number one thing I want you to hear, besides that sheep are intelligent, is this. I hope you write it in your bulletin, or you can take digital notes. If you go to our website, you can see a button that says Sermon Notes. You can click on that and type this in. It says this. Be overcome by wonder, so that you can see God in every moment. Today, I want us to be overcome by wonder so that we can see God in every moment. Our passage today comes from Luke chapter 19. So if you have a paper Bible, you can go to Luke chapter 19, or you can read it on the screen with me. Here at Shepherd's, we have this fun tradition where after the reader of Scripture says, you know, this is the word of God for us, the people of God, all of you will say, thanks be to God. But then we add a little extra oomph to it. We add the word woo at the end. So get ready to say woo. All right, hear the word of the Lord. Those who had been sent found it exactly as he had said. As they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, why are you untying the colt? They replied, the master needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their clothes on the colt, and lifted Jesus onto it. As Jesus rode along, they spread their clothes on the road. As Jesus approached the road leading down from the Mount of Olives, the whole throng of his disciples began rejoicing. They praised God with a loud voice because of all the mighty things they had seen. They said, blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heavens. Some of the Pharisees from the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, scold your disciples. Tell them to stop. He answered, I tell you, if they were silent, the stones would shout. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Woo! Very good. So in this passage, Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. He's going from the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem. He's riding a colt, which is another word for a baby donkey. We have talked about baby donkeys before. I've shown you pictures of baby donkeys because they are adorable. They don't look like they should exist. Their heads are way too big for their tiny little paws, hooves. They are not, you know, sort of scary creatures at all. When you see a king riding on a colt, a baby donkey, you're not thinking, oh, this guy's here to conquer. You think, oh, this guy is confused. And this story shows us this miracle that happens. Jesus basically goes and tells his disciples, go commit Grand Theft Auto, and they'll be cool with it. Go and find someone else's colt, take it, and just say, hey, the master needs it. And that's what happens in this passage. Jesus tells his disciples to go get a tiny little baby donkey, and the people who own the tiny little baby donkey are like, well, I guess I don't have a baby donkey anymore, and I'm sure this guy will use it really, really nice. And so he goes and he takes this donkey and he comes into Jerusalem. But here's the thing that happens. This is the real miracle. As Jesus enters Jerusalem, everyone there realizes that things have changed. This is like in, if you've ever watched a thriller of a movie and the main character has like a shocked face and the camera zooms out, right? And you begin to realize that the call was coming from inside the house the whole time, or he had been dead the whole time, or, you know, that, you know, whatever the big plot twist was, that's happening in this moment. The people watching the story of Jesus begin to realize that this is not any ordinary rabbi, but in fact, God has come to dwell among us. The thing about Jesus entering Jerusalem is that everything was changing and people began to realize, and they were overcome with wonder. It is not normal to put your clothes down so a donkey can walk on it. If you've ever been around a donkey, they're not house trained, right? They smell bad and they're wild animals. It is not normal to take your clothes off and put them down on the ground and get them all dirty, especially if you've got just the one coat. It is not normal to sing praises when a rabbi enters a room. Those are not normal things to do. The people were overcome with wonder. The people were overcome with wow. The thing is, when we recognize Christ, the only response is wonder. When we recognize Christ in our lives, the only response is wonder. Today, I want you to be overcome by wonder so that you can see God in every moment. But what do the religious leaders do? They hear this praise, they hear this action, they hear people responding in wonder because they've encountered the Christ. And the religious leaders say, hey, stop doing that. Don't do that. I need you to calm down. I need you to bring it down a notch. I need you to stop shouting praise. Because the point of religion, and this might be strange to hear a pastor say this, but the point of religion is to take the infinite, to take the God of the universe, and mush it down into something we can understand. And that's not a bad thing. Like, you know, we can't understand God just like my cat can't understand the internet. It's something beyond what the cat can really understand. And we as human beings, we cannot fully understand the infinite. And so my job as your pastor, our script, our Bible, its job is to help us take this infinite thing and mush it down into a way that we can understand it. And so God then becomes a human being and dwells among us, lives a life. And we can understand that. We can't understand the internet, but we can't understand the infinite. I also don't understand the internet, let's be really honest. But we can understand something that we could put our arms around. But these religious leaders, they see the Christ and they think, uh-oh, things are going to change and we don't want them to change. Oftentimes, you look through human history, you see that religious leaders are constantly at the edge of change, saying, no, 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 don't do that. Don't do that. Stay back. Stay the way things are. We don't want things to change. And these religious leaders are doing exactly that. Religion is taking the infinite and making it as finite as possible. Christ tells us here in this passage that our days of containing God are over. Our days of containing God in a box, making it look like us, making God act like us and sound like us and feel like us, those days are over. Because the God of the universe is riding in on a donkey. And when we see that happen, we are overcome with wonder. Today, I want you to be overcome by wonder so that you can see God in every moment. And so there's a response from creation. Jesus says that the stones will shout because all of creation was shifting. In that moment, the God of the universe was coming and dwelling among us, and the wonder of the human beings was so powerful that if they tried to stifle it, the stones would shout. We have a few images here from the Webb telescope. It's a telescope that's out in space taking pictures into all of creation. You'll see images of stars and supernovae and big clouds of gas and dust, thousands and thousands of light years away. You see remnants and echoes of the moment creation began. You see all of these things, these beautiful images, and they exist so that we can know, we can understand, we can put our minds around things that we can't fully conceptualize. And we have an opportunity to allow wonder to take hold. And I think we have a chance to see God in these images. Because when I look at these images, what I feel or what I know is someone that understands a lot more than I do knows what those things are, can name the particles, can name the movements, can explain why they look the way that they do. And that's just a skill I don't have. Just like when I pop the hood of my car and I look in and I go, there it is. It's an engine. It's hot. It is as it should be. And if it isn't, I don't know why, you know. And I could respond with understanding, having greater knowledge. Or today, the option that we can have when we look at creation, when we look at every single moment, is we have a chance of being overcome by wonder and seeing God in every moment. Wonder requires us to let go of our certainty and for us to take hold of mystery. The religious leaders, upon seeing Jesus come into town and get praised by his disciples, were able to say, this is not how we're supposed to do it. Torah tells us that the Messiah won't look like this, won't act like this, won't be like this, and these people are worshiping a false god. I know it, I know it, I know it. I understand. But wonder requires us to let go of certainty and rely then on mystery. Today, I want us to be overcome by wonder so that we can see God in every moment. And so we worship. Because of this wonder that we feel, because of this thing that we experience, which is Christ's presence, we worship. If we succumb to wonder, we will succumb to worship. If we succumb to wonder, we will succumb to worship. Worship is a thing that we do together, friends, right? Every Sunday morning, we call this worship. We call this the worship space or the sanctuary. This is a thing that we do. This is an action that we do. We sing together. Some of you have heard from me before that worship music, I love worship music so much that I listen to it one time a week, and it's here. And people will be like, oh, have you heard that new song? Nope, I haven't. I don't love worship music unless I'm with my friends. Bebopping in the car, listening to 88.3 is not my move. Now, if it's your move, that's amazing, but I'm just telling you about my experience. If I was king of the world, worship music would be about nine hymns on repeat every single week. I love Great is Thy Faithfulness, all 38 verses of it. I just love As the Deer Panteth for the Water. That it's a banger, as the kids say. I just love these songs that were written 300 years ago and had to be translated into English. That's me. That's my vibe. Because I grew up in a church that worship was this performative thing. People would go to worship and they would raise their hands and they would fall to their knees dramatically so that other people could see them, and it made me feel icky. It wasn't something that lit me up. And I know for some of you, that is not your experience. That when you come to worship, to get your hands up in the air is how you are closest to God. I think that that's beautiful, and I want that to happen. Because here's the thing, with worship, you don't even have to sing, but you can. You don't even have to clap, but you can. You don't have to dance, but you can. You don't have to like every lyric of every song, but you can. Worship is something that requires us to let go of certainty and rely on mystery. If we're going to worship, we have to wonder. If we're going to worship, we have to pray the prayer of wow. If we can allow ourselves to be overcome by wonder, we have a chance to see God in every moment. So why would the stones cry out? Because the God of all wonders must be magnified. Today, let's be overcome by wonder so that you can see God in every moment. Last week in worship, I was overcome. I put my hands in the air, and I realized that that's not a thing that you see from me commonly. I think it's important for you to understand, those of you who raise your hands in worship, I think it's a beautiful expression of your love for God. It is an ancient practice. Do you know this, friends? The priests of Israel would raise their hands as a sign of adoration to God. They would also put their hands out like this as a sign of openness to reception to what God has for them. Worship exists in many different modalities and forms. My algorithm on social media is so weird. It's a lot of like weightlifting content, because that's a thing that I care about, but also it's a lot of Hasidic Jewish Q&A. Why? I don't know. The algorithm knows something more than me. But when we got a new pope, I got super into Pope Leo the 14th. I don't know. Sorry, if you're watching, Pope, I'm sorry, I got the number wrong. Put a comment in if you're watching, Pope Leo. And so my algorithm shows me a lot of Roman Catholic mass. I was not raised Catholic. I don't know what all the doodads are, but it's meaningful to me. I love seeing it. Russian Orthodox and Greek Orthodox worship videos. Again, don't know what any of it is. A lot of the captions are written in like church language, like ancient church language that I literally don't even know how to translate, but that's worship too. You see, we as human beings, we were made to worship. Why does God need to be magnified in us? That's why we exist. Because as darkness flees from light, sorrow flees from the glory of God. As God's glory enters into the world, as reflected through all of us, sadness and sorrow and pain and bloodshed and war flee in the presence of God. We were made to worship. Our worship will change the world. The more of God's wonder in creation, the less darkness there is. You don't need to worship like a Greek Orthodox priest. You don't need to worship like me. You don't need to worship like anyone else in the room. All you need to do is to see God and reflect God's glory, and you will be worshiping. We as human beings, we were made to worship, and so we will worship something. If you worship money, you will magnify greed. If you worship relationships, you will magnify control. You will magnify selfishness. If you worship politics, you will magnify division. And if you worship the God of the universe, you will magnify God's glory in the world, and the world will be changed because of it. We have to choose what we will worship. And so today, I hope you will choose to be overcome by wonder so that you can see God in every moment. To be overcome by wonder means to see God alive in every which thing. And I promise you that if you actually do this, you will become so uncomfortable. Just like all growth will require you to feel discomfort. I remember when I was a kid, I had an incredible growth spurt as a kid. I was this tall, and then I was this tall in the span of what felt like 2 weeks. And I could feel my knees. Anyone else have this experience? I could feel my knees growing in my shorts. Like it was like, I can feel it happening, and boy, did it hurt, right? I had braces for far too long. I could feel my teeth moving in my skull, and it hurt, right, friends? Growth, if you're going to experience growth, friends, if you're going to change, if you're going to be overcome by wonder, it's going to make you uncomfortable. If you feel like you've got it all figured out, it isn't wonder. In order for us to reflect God's wonder, we must experience change. As United Methodists, we call this sanctification. Everyone say sanctification. It is this grace that God works within us that polishes us towards a better mirror to reflect the glory of God into creation. When we pray the prayer of wow, we are showing the world that God's glory exists and sharing it with others. There's this great quote by Anne Lamott that I just wanted to share in its entirety that you'll see on the screen now. She says this, "If we stay where we are, where we're stuck, where we're comfortable and safe, we die there. We become like mushrooms, living in the dark with manure up to our chins. If you want to know only what you already know, you're dying. You're saying, leave me alone. I don't mind this little rat hole. It's warm and dry. Really, it's fine. Really, it's fine." I think so many Christians have a really it's fine kind of faith. This sort of faith that says, yeah, I don't really see the need to change or listen to other people, or I feel like I've kind of got it already figured out. I don't really need to be overcome by wonder any longer. I don't need to be surprised by God. I've been a Christian for a little while. I can just kind of keep doing the things that I've always done. I don't need to change these behaviors that hurt others. I don't need to see and critique the ways that I'm living. I don't need to be sanctified. I don't need to be changed. Really, it's fine. I don't need to be overcome by wonder. This prayer of wow requires us to let go of our certainty and rely instead on the wonder of God working through us and shining out from us. And friends, I think the world is desperate for Christians overcome by wonder. The world needs churches looking for God in every small thing. If we could look for God in every small thing, then we would begin to see the image of God reflected in the eyes of the people in our neighborhoods. If we began to see God in every which thing, we would see the systems and structures in our communities that are harming others as things that need our love and care and attention. We would begin to see the relationships that have not healed as opportunities for God's glory to shine out. Be overcome by wonder this week so that you can see God in every moment. So I got three action steps for you this week, three ways that I want you to be doing this sermon, not just hearing this sermon. First, I want you to look for God in the mundane, and I want you to send me an email about it, all right? My email's up on the screen, pastor@shepherdsumc.com. Send me an email about some bit of wonder that you saw this week. I'll share one with you real quick. Over at the chapel campus, we are infested with butterflies. It is like a Pablo Neruda poem. There's so many butterflies everywhere. And we found a bunch of, me and some of the kids, we found a bunch of little caterpillars. And so we tried to rescue some of the caterpillars, and one of them curled up and was like, it's sleeping. But we put it in the bush and it's gonna be a butterfly in a couple of days. We experience wonder in those moments. So I want emails from all of you. Find wonder in the mundane this week. Send me a note and make me a Christian this week. Make me a little bit more like Jesus this week and help me see some wonder this week. And the second one is I want you to treat someone as if they were made in the image of God, because spoiler alert, they are. If you believe the Bible, which I think some of you do, I try to most of the time believe the Bible, then I am going to know that every single human being on this planet, especially the ones I don't like very much, are made in the image of God. And so I want you this week to try very hard to treat someone, just one person, as if they were made in the image of God. And lastly, and most importantly, I want you to be overcome by wonder so that you can see God in every moment. Let's pray together. All right, friends, I hope you heard something in today's message that made an impact in your life, helped you know that you're loved by God, and inspired you to do something about the gospel that is offered to you. Now receive this blessing as you go. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you.
May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.